Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is the mighty man of war. He is Jehovah. But yesterday we talked about the final warning. Today we are speaking about the final warning, number two, part two. And yesterday what happened is that the people did not yield to the warning of the prophet of God. They were in constant rebellion, and they rejected the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. And now today we're going to talk about the invasion from the north. See, when you reject God's word and become rebellious, and you refuse to hear what God is saying, you put yourself at a position of a place of being invaded by the enemy, by all of Satan agents. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us yesterday for today. They're not going to be too long because I have to go to the eye specialist today early. And we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for giving us another day in the land of the living. And even as this a little cold is trying to take over my sinuses, I pray today for healing in my sinuses, oh God. And even all those that are being attacked by the virus that's in the atmosphere now, we pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for restoration, oh God. We pray, oh God, for healing of the nations of the world, the continents of the world, oh God, that you would heal today, that you would restore today, oh God, that you would bring us to that place of a clear understanding, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the word. Bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips are clear, that as I see, O God, and as I hear, I will speak. There will be none of me but all of you in Jesus' name. Maybe only two scriptures I'd give you today, but depends on how the Holy Spirit goes, because I have to get over here at 1 o'clock. Here in Jeremiah chapter 6, we were there yesterday, from verse 1 all the way to verse 21. Now we're going to go from 22 to 30. And this is what he says. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Look, a great army coming from the north, a great nation is rising against you from far off lands. They are armed with bows and spears. They are cruel and show no mercy. They sound like a roaring lion. They sound like a roaring sea, making great noise. The horses, the horsemen, the foot soldiers are making great noise. They're coming to destroy you. Why are they coming to destroy you? Because you have totally rejected the Lord. You have refused to hear his word from his servants. You have turned to your own way. You have chosen to go your own way. So now God has left you. He has removed his hand of protection from us, and we are open targets for the enemy. Listen to what he says. They sound like a ruined sea as they ride forward on horses. They are coming in battle formation, planning to destroy you. Beautiful Jerusalem. We have heard reports about the enemy, and we wring our hands in fright. Pangs of anguish have gripped us like those of a woman in labor. Don't go out to the fields. Don't travel on the roads. The enemy's sword is everywhere and terrorize us at every turn. Oh, my people, dress yourselves in burlap and sit among the ashes. So get in the place of mourning. Get into a place of mourning, of repentance. Hallelujah. Mourn and weep bitterly as for the loss of an only son. For suddenly the destroying armies will be upon you. Hear what the Lord says. This is not going to happen just on a way. It's going to come suddenly where you're not looking. Hallelujah. It's going to come suddenly upon you. Jeremiah, I have made you a tester of metals, that you may determine the quality of my people. They are the worst kind of rebel, full of slander. They are as hard as bronze and iron. And they lead others into corruption. Do you hear this? You know, corrupt people lead others into corruption. We used to say, change people, that still goes. People that are changed cause you to change. If you hang out with bad people, you find yourself doing bad things. It's just as simple as that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. No, he says, the bellows fiercely fan the flame to burn out the corruption, but it does not purify them, for the wickedness remains. I will label them rejected silver, for I, the Lord, am discarding them. Do you hear that? The Lord said he will put a label to them that they don't worth anything. Is that what you is that what you want from the Lord? Is that what you want the Lord to say about you? Or are you going to repent? Here in the Logos Bible, the land from the north, the motive of an invading enemy from the north was introduced. The bow and the short sword to grasp. They show no mercy, invading forces, whether Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, as well as armed, cruel, and merciless. O daughter of Zion refers to Jerusalem. Zion was the name of Yahweh's dwelling on the Temple Mount. A favorite metaphor for the prophets to describe Zion in the face of imminent attack and defeat. A coarse garment, symbolic of mourning, talking about gird yourself with sackcloth. We used to have those sackcloth bags to make a mattress. Roll about in the ashes in mourning, also part of rituals for mourning. And Assyria among my people, if fornication. The context in Jeremiah chapter 6, 28 to 30 is concerned with metals. The prophet functions as agents. His word could have the effect of purifying the people if they would repent. Where Yahweh's word is in the mouth of the prophet are likened to fire. Remember, Jeremiah said, it's like fire shot up in my bones. Hallelujah. The pairing of bronze and iron often symbolizes strength. But here it denotes Israel's stubbornness. Are burnt up, lead, or lead. Describe the melting process designed to separate silver from lead. In vain, he keeps on refining, but the wicked are not torn apart. The refining was designed to remove the wicked from the midst of the repentant righteous. The process failed because none repented. How many people you see go to the altar on Sundays, on Wednesday night, on Saturday mornings, or whenever they have service, and they declare that they repent? They're crying and snorting and everything. But then when you look at them, you see that they're acting the same way. There's no repentance. There's no change because they have not truly repented. He said, so what they're doing is in vain. It's worthless. It don't make any sense because there's no results. So he rejected the seven. The prophets frequently depict Yahweh's judgment as a refining fire. We talked about going down to the potter's house a couple of days ago, last week. We talked about that. Rejecting seven, the prophet frequently depicts Yahweh's judgment as refining fire, with his people coming through the process of dross. The rejected byproduct, God is looking forward to us coming out different to how we went in. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 23. I'm not going to be long with you today. Like I said, I go to get myself situated and go to see the eye specialist today. 3 days this week was doctors and eye specialists and all this stuff. When you're getting older, you have to maintain everything. Ezekiel chapter 23. And let's start at verse 18. Ezekiel 22. Glory to God. In the same way, I became disgusted with Aholibah and rejected her, just as I had rejected her sister, because she flaunted herself before them and gave herself to satisfy their lusts. Yet she turned to even greater prostitution, remembering her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. She lusted after lovers with genitals as large as a donkey's and emissions like those of a horse. And so Aholibah, you relive your former days as a young girl in Egypt. when you first allowed your breasts to be fondled. Now he's talking about Judah and Jerusalem. And they were considered like sisters. That before they become one nation. Okay? And what he's saying is that they were being fondled. They lived as a prostitute. In other words, he saw it as prostitution, where they were worshiping other idols. You understand? When you, he calls them whores. Now, when you leave God and you begin to worship some other entity, it's like you are prostituting your life, your soul. You know, you have given your soul, taking your soul away from God, from giving God glory. Now you're giving glory to something else that seems good to you. We got young people that are young athletes, and we have musicians and entertainers and movie actors and actresses that are dying and dying young. I mean, dying young and rich, multi-millions and billions, they're dying and leaving. But why? Because they have not given their life to Christ. They have given their life to Satan, the Illuminati, to get power, to become famous. You understand? And now they come to a time that, you know, when people are giving you all the time, sometime they're going to want something back from you. Regardless if it's a brother, sister, a neighbor, or an enemy. If they give you something, eventually someday they're going to want to require that you do something for them. Satan is not going to keep giving you. Every time you're looking around, you got some. You say, well, yeah. Satan said, well, I'm blessing you, but, you know, there's a day coming that I'm going to want something from you. And what he wanted, your soul. Hallelujah. I read a thing in the paper in a little comic strip. And this man, he wanted to be rich. So he saw this other people that were getting real rich. And he said, what's your secret? I'm working all the time. I said, I'm working all the time, and I don't seem to be able to get ahead. What are you doing? And the man told him, he said, do you really, 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 really want to be rich? He said, yes, I really, 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 really want to be rich. What do I have to do? He said, well, if you really, really, really want to be rich, you will have to do the same thing that I do. He said, tell me, man, because I want to be rich. I don't want to go around in this world not able to take care of my family and do what I want to do. Well, the man told him, he said, well, meet me tonight at 12 o'clock, and we're going to meet me down by the river, down by the lake, down by the waterfront. Meet me down there, and I will tell you what you got to do. Well, he goes down there, and he had to meet this marine spirit who worked for Satan, one of Satan's agents. And it was strange, because the marine spirit told him that he had to give her some of his sperm. He said, no, I ain't doing that. She said, well, okay. If you really want to get rich, you will do what I require. So I think in this story, he left. But then he was so bothersome because he wanted to be rich, and he come back another night in the nighttime, midnight, you know, called the devil, and his agents operate on the 3 o'clock, the 12 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, and the 6 o'clock on those hours. They're more powerful at that time, those times. Well, he went and he jumped in the water and had intercourse with this female entity in the water. And he came with the water, tell him, give him different instructions, what he had to do, this thing that he had to place, this place, and put different stuff, all these different, a lot of instructions. But anyhow, he began just prospering in everything he do. Big house, cars, everything. Clothes, I mean, he was dressing philanthropy. I mean, he was just out there. This out there, you could look at him and see he was doing great. But one day, Satan came by. He said, look, your time is up. He said, what do you mean? I just got started. I just started enjoying myself. He said, well, you just get started, but now I'm getting started because I need you. I need you to come with me. I need you. So he was so disappointed because he thought that once he got the power, he got the the know-how that he would be able to go ahead and be rich and be like that till he got old and die. But no, see, Satan ain't going to give you nothing and let you continue living a glorious life. No, you just going to enjoy that for a little short while. That's why you see so many people, some of these folk that they were doing so great and they're dying young. Because Satan is calling for their souls, you know. It was good while it lasts. Here in this book of Ezekiel, and we are Ezekiel chapter 23. This is part two of the final warning. And if you go back and read this text from up, you will see that there was, he called him two names, Aholibah and Ahola. See, these are two sisters. And remember where they were. They were in Egypt. This is where Israel was. This is Judah and Jerusalem. Okay? Hallelujah. You go back and read the text, you'll see. Or you can see Samaria and Jerusalem. Go back and look and see that they started out in Egypt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they turn away from God. And they begin doing their own thing. What was making them feel good. Hallelujah. When we started out, somebody was talking about the Old Testament the other day. When we started out in the Old Testament, talking about the Ten Commandments and what we should do and what we should do. Today we in the New Testament, and all we're talking about is grace. And grace is good. Grace is good. Jesus come and give us grace, unmerited favor, mercy and grace. What we should have got, we have not got, and what we shouldn't get, we get. You see, this is what mercy and grace does, you know. And we take it for granted, so we continue to do what we want to do. And we say, well, no, I'm going to fornicate, I'm going to commit adultery, I'm going to steal, I'm going to covet my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's ass, my neighbor's ox, everything. I'm going to disobey my parents. I'm going to be rude to my grandma. I'm going to be rude to my grandfather. I'm going to be rude to my mother and my father. You know, we're going to have no respect. Well, because what? They'll put the dry creams inside the schools. But they'll take the instructions of God out of the schools. So the kids don't know anything about the Ten Commandments. They don't know anything about the cross. You ask some of the young people, they come to church. Young lady just joined the church. She about 21 or 22, somewhere around there. And she says, she don't know anything about the crucifixion. Never heard about it. You know? Can you imagine that? For 22 years, you never heard about the crucifixion. You never heard of what happened at Calvary. But you have men dressed as women and women dressed as men coming into school teaching the kids. And people said it's all right. They need to know everything. Well, they need to know about Christ Jesus. And then all that other stuff that going around would not make any sense to them. It wouldn't bother them because they would have the power, the knowledge of the power of who God is, what he's done at Calvary. Here, verse 22 says, therefore, Aholibah, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is in the NLT, New Living Translation. I will send your lovers against you from every direction, those very nations from which you turn away in disgust. Be just like a dog. He vomits, she vomits, and then she turned back to the vomit. Licking on the same nasty woman. He says, I would turn you those nations from which you turn away in disgust. No, I'm going to turn you back to. For the Babylonians which will come with all the Chaldeans from Pekod and Shur and Keor, and all the Assyrians will come with them. Handsome young captains, commanders, chariot officers and other high-ranking officers, all riding their horses. They will all come against you from the north, with chariots, wagons, and a great army prepared for attack. Remember Jeremiah said that the enemy going to come from the north, all directions. They will take up positions on every side, surrounding you with men armed with shields and helmets. And I will hand you over to them for punishment, so they can do with you as they please. Now, sometimes we have to go through some punishments, some correction. No, we always say that without correction, there's no growth. Well, sometimes we have to go through some correction in order to get to the place that God wants us to be at. I was going to North Carolina for 3 days next month. And the other day I was laying on the bed, and I heard it in my spirit. Don't go to North Carolina. I already booked the flight, booked the hotel room, everything. Very expensive. And the Lord said, don't go. Well, I canceled a flight yesterday. Today I'm going to call the hotel and cancel that. I'm going to lose a little bit of money, but it's all right. But you got to be obedient. See, God will call you to go through some stuff to get you on track where he wants you to be. We are apt to run off because, you know, you're going to preach. You're going to sing in the praise team, in the choir. You got to get with that. You're going to play the instrument. You go, oh, no, but does God want you to do that? Does he really want you to do that? You say, but it's in the church. But did you ask God, do you want me to do that? You would say, well, because it's in the church, God, no, some places God don't want you to. In some places, God don't want you to worship. In some places, he don't want you to pray. Because you're in between idol worshipers. You know, and they contaminate the worship anyway. So he said, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to worship with these people. I want you to be where the people love me. Where they care about giving me true worship, true glory. They're worshiping me in spirit and in truth. That's where I want you to worship. That's where I want you to get into prayer. Hallelujah. But you want to be with people because you want to be seen. God says it's not about being seen. I want you to be able to give me true worship in spirit and in truth. Now, this is what he said to Ezekiel. He says, I would turn my jealous anger against you to the people. To tell Ezekiel to tell Israel. And they will deal harshly with you. They will cut off your nose and ears, and any survivors will then be slaughtered by the sword. Your children will be taken away as captives, and everything that is left will be burned. They will strip you of your beautiful clothes and jewelry. In this day, listen to God, speaking to the prophet, I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you brought from Egypt. See, we go some places, and the very spirit that's in those places, we pick it up. And we bring it back into God's place. Into God's place where the anointing is, we bring back that spirit. We got to believe, what kind of spirit do you have? You watch a lot of these entertainers now. I call them entertainers. A lot of these musicians call themselves worshipers. And I seen somebody out there, somebody sent me something, was on my page. And the lady's songs really good. It sounds really, really nice. But then they all of them making this hand gesture. Where they got the two middle fingers down, and they got the index finger and the baby finger in the ear. That is a sign of the satanic ram or goat. Understand? And they're making these signs. How you can How you can be on God's altar and you make it a satanic sign? Is it because they don't know what they're doing? Or they're doing it anyway because it looks good and other churches are doing it? We got to go and investigate these things. Put up your fingers and make signs, don't you? Know that you're glorifying the God, like glorifying different entities, different gods. They say this is a LOL. And then I saw somebody put it on Facebook, Lucifer our Lord, LOL, you know. And some people say laugh out loud. But once I saw it say that Lucifer our Lord, I stopped even touching that. I wouldn't touch it. So he says here, look at what God says, look. He says, oh God, he says, in this day I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you brought from Egypt. You will never again cast longing eyes on those things or fondly remember your time in Egypt. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will surely hand you over to your enemies, to those you loathe, those you rejected. They will treat you with hatred and rob you of all your own, leaving you stark naked. The shame of your prostitution will be exposed to all the world. See, God is an angry God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. But he becomes angry, ferocious, when we start worshiping other entities. When we give the love that we have for him to other things. When you love your car more, do you love your God? When you love your husband more, do you love your God? When you love your wife more, do you love your God? He'll remove his hand from over you. Yes, the Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you. God still watches you. But he'll leave you so you can go through some punishment, some judgment, some natural judgment in the earth realm. So it will drive you back to your knees and say, well, you realize, oh, no, I would pay more attention to the things of the world than I've been paying to the things of God. You see? Because, see, God is not going to do something that you don't see. You got to recognize he wants us to see our mistakes. He's not just going to chastise us and we don't know why we're being chastised. No, you understand? I just got a few more minutes because we're leaving here at 1 o'clock. So I just got about 30 more minutes, less than 30 minutes to get myself together. So I'm just going to do a couple more, a little bit more of this, and then we're going to get out of here. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Glory to God. God is serious about his people. He's serious about the love that he has for us and the love that he wants from us. He says, you brought all this on yourselves by prostituting yourself to other nations, defiling yourself with all their idols. See, when Abraham was getting old, he told his servant to take Isaac to Canaan, where his brother was, and he said where his kinfolk was. And he said to get a wife, because Isaac now was maturing as a young man, handsome. But he said, he told the servant, don't let Isaac marry to any of those Canaanite women. Why was he saying to the servant to don't let Isaac marry to any of those Canaanite women or any of them Jebusites or Hittites or Parasites? And them kind of sites. There's a lot of different sites in the Bible. He said, why did he say that? Because he knew that if he had ever get caught up with any of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, or Jebusites, that he would find himself worshiping their gods because they didn't worship Jehovah God. They were worshiping dragons and all type of stuff, different birds and stuff. They were worshiping. They had statues of birds, statues of dragons and stuff that they were worshiping, statues of people, kings and so on, that they were worshiping. And he didn't want them to indulge in that idol worship. So Isaac ended up married to one of his relatives. Because that's what they would do. They were married to their kinfolk. instead of mind outside of their family, their marital family member, a sister, a brother, cousin, somebody. That's what they did. It's all in the Bible. Listen, and let me see what it says. He says, hello. Hallelujah. Verse 30. You brought all this on yourself. We read this before. By prostituting yourself to other nations, defiling yourself with all the idols. Because you have fallen in your sister's footstep, I will force you to drink the same cup of terror she drank. Yes, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You will drink from your sister's cup of terror, a cup that is large and deep. It is filled with the brim, to the brim, with scorn, with scorn and derision. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is filled to the brim. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. King James says, thus says the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn and had in derision. It containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, and with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister's Samaria. Now we see that. They both did the same thing. One is already going through punishment, but now the second one going go through punishment. He said, you will drain the cup of terror to the very bottom. Then you will smash it to pieces and beat your breast in anguish. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. And because you have forgotten me and turn your back on me, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You must bear the consequences of all your lewdness and prostitution. There he goes in. We'll come back to this because I got to get myself together. But I think I'll go there. Let me see what time it is. I can give you a little bit more. Let's go there. Now, because of what they have done, Samaria, Jerusalem, or Judah in Jerusalem, the Lord allowed judgment to come upon them. We're talking about the final warning part. Your computer's acting up. So now, here in Ezekiel chapter 23, the Lord's judgment on both the sisters. Remember, we're talking about the final warning. So Ezekiel had talked to them about what they have done. He warned them about the lifestyle that they were living continuously. But they didn't want to hear. They didn't want the rebuke. They didn't want to be corrected. So now God is sending judgment. He said, the Lord said to me, son of man, you must accuse Aholibah of all their detestable sins. They have committed both adultery and murder. Adultery by worshiping idols and murder by burning and sacrifice their children they bore to me. Do you hear what God says? We got people right here in our country now that are sacrificing children. Children. Hallelujah. I've heard that they have arrested so many doctors here in our very state. One lady had babies and there was, you look around, the baby was gone, and they told her that the babies were dead. But the babies weren't dead. They took the babies. This is what's happening, people. And we are sleeping. The church is not preaching this stuff. They're afraid to go into the Old Testament. They're afraid. They said, we're a New Testament church. They said, see, some folk don't know how to live a life that please God. That's why you have so many pastors and so many leaders are dipping and dabbing in sin. One pastor just lost a nice big church here in Massachusetts, a big, big fancy church. It was a Christian church. It didn't have the homosexual people, the plague and all that stuff. But the pastor was doing pedophiling. You know, sleeping with little boys and little girls in the church. Now he lost the church and let a bishop know that who was bisexual out of the church. So you go from the pot to the pan to the fire. You understand? And this is what's happening. There's no true holiness. This is what God says. Hallelujah. They caused the children to go through the fire, to be sacrificed. Children that he opened their womb so they could have children. They're born to him, he says. And they sacrifice the children. He said, furthermore, they have defiled my temple and violated my Sabbath day. We take over, instead of worshiping on Saturday, we take over Sunday, called the Catholics. Decide they don't want us to worship on the Sabbath day. And people, pastors don't even want to try to even go back to Saturday. They don't even want to try to go back to it because they're already committed to worshiping on Sunday. Thank God that we celebrate the Sabbath here on Blog Talk Radio. Listen, he said, on the very day that they sacrificed their children to their idols, they boldly came into my temple to worship. They came and defiled my house. This is what God speaking to the prophet. It's like you're going to the whorehouse and then leaving the whole house and going to God's house to worship. It's like you're going down to the place to gamble, to play dice. And then you leave the dice game and go in to worship God. I got about 5 more minutes and then I'm 10 more minutes and then I'm going to get up and get dressed. I got to go to the eye appointment. Hallelujah. Got to get some new glasses. So let's see here. He said, your sisters sent messages to distant lands to get men. Then when they arrived, you bathed yourselves, tinted your eyelids, and put on your finest jewelry for them. You sat with them on a beautiful embroidered couch and put my incense and my special oil on a table that was spread before you. From your room came the song of many men carousing. They were lustful men and drunkards from the wilderness, bracelets on your wrists and beautiful crowns on your heads. Then I said, if they really want to have sex with all worn out prostitutes like these, let them. And that is what they did. They had sex with Ahola and Aholibah, these shameless prostitutes. This is Samaria and Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But righteous people will judge these sisters' cities for what they really are, adulterers and murderers. Now this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Bring an army against them and hand them over to be terrorized and plundered. For their enemies will stone them and kill them with swords. They will butcher their sons and daughters and burn their homes. In this way, I will put an end to lewdness and idolatry in the land. And my judgment will be a warning to all women not to follow your wicked example. You will be fully repaid for all your prostitution, your worship of idols. Yes, you will suffer the full penalty. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. We glorify you. We honor you, Jesus. Father, we ask you to touch all those that were able to hear this short word that we put on today. We still have a few more minutes, but we got to go. Lord, we ask you to bless the hearers and all those all near and far. Lord, we got so many hits from Africa yesterday. Lord, the people like the word. We ask, God, that you continue to speak to us, God. We are hungry and we are thirsty, O God. We ask you to fill us, O God, till we our cups run over. We always going to want more. So we're not going to see the fill us that we want no more. We want you to fill us, O God, till our cups overflow, O God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord Jesus, is someone today that don't know you as Lord and Savior. So we're asking you now to touch them. Lord, convict their hearts right now to want to be closer to you, Lord God. Convict their hearts, Lord God. Only you can convict the hearts of a man. Only you can tame a lion. Yes, Lord. Only you can call a rattlesnake to just roll up and don't release any venom. We ask you today, God, to touch those that are in need today. We know there's many out there today in the computer land that need a Savior. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you give us more. Lord, draw us closer. And Father, for that one that don't know Jesus, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Also said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, you have an opportunity. Because regardless of what you have done, what your sin was, the Bible says that God still loves you. This is what the Bible says, that you can't do anything bad enough to cause God to hate you. But there's no hating God. You can get him upset. You can get God angry, but you can't make him hate you because there's no hating God. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. But he's also a God of judgment. And if you know that you are a sinner, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us are sinners. But if you know that you are at the place that you need a Savior, and all of us need a Savior, hallelujah, this is your day. The Bible said that first thing you must do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you know what you got to do. You got to repent. This is the first thing that you got to do, is that you got to start and repent. Turning from your wicked way. That means stop doing what you've been doing. Whatever you've been doing that's contributed to God's word, you need to stop doing. Hallelujah. So that you can be a candidate for salvation. Everybody can be a candidate for salvation, the first thing, if you just repent. Hallelujah. If you just repent, if you just turn away, you can be a candidate for salvation. Because God wants everybody saved. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. That means if you continue to sin, you know, you will die spiritually. All of us will die at some point in time. But we don't want to die spiritually. We want to be at that place where we have an opportunity for God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That means we turn away from our sinful lifestyle. So I want to give you an opportunity today while I'm getting dressed for you to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins right where you are. Just ask the Lord. This is the quick salvation today. Just say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today. And I don't want to be like Samaria or Jerusalem, who live their life doing what they want to do. I want to live my life doing what you command me, what you want me to do, Lord, what you ordain me to do. That's the life I want to live. And if that's you today, tell the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all his agents and the world system. Tell him today. I come to you this morning with great expectation, Lord. I want to be saved, Lord. I want to be called the Son of the Most High. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. A sinner in need of a Savior. I invite you now to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Excuse me. Be the Lord of my life, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Well, my friend, if you just said that easy, simple prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, there's a lot more than that. But Paul said you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you need to get into the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God every day. Study it. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Study the Word. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2 and 38, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized. Because the Word required that you should be baptized. That's telling the world that you believe what you are saying. You believe that Jesus died on the cross, see? You got an open proclamation. You're proclaiming before those people that, yes, you believe in Jesus, and this is your evidence. You're going down the water before witnesses. You're not just saying with your mouth that you believe in Jesus, but now you make it a declaration right now before all those witnesses. That way you invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies. You want them to know that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't get crucified in secret. He get crucified openly before the whole world. They could look and see him on the cross. You understand? So if you're doing this open now, you was in the church building, you just yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross, that he was crucified, and that God raised him on the third day. I believe this in my heart. I confess it with my mouth. You know. So now you're in the open ear. Declaring it before the people that are watching that Jesus died for you in the open air. You're doing that right now. So we thank God for you. When you go down that water, you go in the liquid grave, you're leaving everything that held you in captivity. You're leaving it in the water. When you come about that water, my friend, look for a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel and get yourself involved in it. Get yourself involved. Be a participator. Don't be just a spectator. Okay? In Jesus' holy name, we thank God for you. I'm going to get myself ready. And I look forward to seeing you all on tomorrow. We'll do a part 3 of this message on tomorrow. And then hopefully on Friday, prophetess will get a chance to come. And God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We love you. But God loves you more. Pray that all will be well with my eyes when I get there, that the prescription they give me, I can get back, because I feel like I got to get a stronger prescription. I love you guys so much. God bless. God bless. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for coming on today. Pastor Stewart, Minister Jones, Brother Deacon Fraser, and Brother Mark, we thank God for you. We pray God strengthen you, God empower you, and God keep you all till we have more time. But you know, I got to go get my eyes checked. Because I need my eyes to see the words. I don't know the whole Bible yet. If I knew the whole Bible, I wouldn't mind if he had take away my eyes because I could follow. But I don't know it all yet. So I'm still learning. So I need my eyes to see my words. So let me go get them checked. God bless you all. Have a blessed day.